in that, in considering what motivates us to pray, that we think of it ourselves. When do I pray the most? When do I have times of real prayer with the Lord? Well, it's times when I'm in trouble, when I have like a real need, where I have a problem and I can't fix it myself. I've maybe tried every other option and I can't get anywhere, and I'm at my wit's end, I have no other hope, and so I turn to God and I pray. And those can be really good times. And as we seek the Lord and He answers and He supplies our needs. But times when we don't pray, we look at them, well, when does that happen? Well, that's usually when I figure everything's going good, there's not any problems, I have everything I need. Or if I have a problem, but I think, well, I can manage this problem, I can handle this on my own. When we're at those points, we don't pray, because we think, well, why would I bother God with this? I can take care of this, or I'm doing good. And sometimes that's what happens. Things go great, and we just kind of forget God. When we have a need, we're like, help, help. But then when He supplied the need, then we just kind of forget. And it's not what we mean to do, but that's a lot of times what happens. And we don't want it to be that way. We want to have a prayer life where it isn't something where we go to God in trouble. Like kind of they say, there's no atheists in foxholes. When we're in trouble, then we go to Him, but then the rest of the time we forget about Him. We want to go to Him all the time. And so understanding our motivation and understanding this truth, that just because we don't think we're needy, that's usually the times where we're actually the most needy in different ways. And when we actually realize how needy we are, then that, the more we realize that, the more we will be motivated to pray to God. And we read in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, and this is the Lord speaking to the seven churches and of Asia, and this is to the Laodiceans. And He doesn't have a lot of good things to say to the Laodicean church. They're doing a lot of things wrong. But we see in verse 17 what He says of them. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And as actually you kind of study the history of Laodicea, especially around that time, they're a place that was very wealthy. That they had, like, it was a very prosperous city, and things were going well, and so they kind of looked at, well, I have abundance physically, and so I'm good, I don't need anything. And the Lord said, well, actually, no, it isn't what you think it is, that you actually are, as He says there, that you're wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. That sure, maybe physically, materially, they had a lot, but spiritually speaking, they were destitute. They were bankrupt. And so He's trying to show that. And there's actually a contrast. I don't know if I can find it, but of one of the churches here, it's interesting. I can't see it here just offhand, but it actually talks about their poverty. But then He says, but behold, thou art rich, because it was, even though they were poor physically, materialistically speaking, they actually had a great richness spiritually. And so it's understanding that we have many, many needs, and so we have much to pray for, much to keep us in prayer. That if we actually understood that, and that's like kind of what we talked about this morning, the whole idea of abiding in Him, that without me you can do nothing, that it's like we need Him all the time. I remember there's this one song here sometimes at funerals, but the court, like it goes, they can't even walk without you holding my hand. And how true that is, like just in our daily life, that we it's amazing when we really take stock of how sometimes pathetic we are in us trying to accomplish things in our own strength. And we just, boy, that just didn't go good at all. And we realize, even to do the most basic of things, we need His help. And so we want to look at some of our needs, we would say, that present themselves to us each day and that help lead us to prayer. And so first of all, we see our need for forgiveness. Forgiveness. And we recognize that sin robs us of our fellowship with God. That if it talks about Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so we don't have that closeness with God because sin gets in the way. Isaiah 59, it says, Lord's hand's not shortened that He cannot save, nor His ear heavy He cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God that He will not hear. And that's what happens when we're sinning against the Lord and that isn't dealt with. There's not that fellowship. There's that separation. And if we persist in sin, then what happens? If sin is unchecked in our lives, it's going to bring about the Lord's chastening upon our lives. Because the Lord loves us, He chastens us. We're going out of the path we should. Because He loves us, He wants to bring us back in the path we should be. And He does it for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. And even though at the time we don't like it, it's grievous to us, but afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It is a blessing, and we're thankful for its chastening. As it talks about in Psalm 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. That when things were going good, I wandered from the Lord, but then when trouble came, that caused me to follow the Lord more faithfully. And so we recognize that, and we talked about that last week of just what a great blessing and privilege our relationship that we have with God and the fellowship that we can enjoy with God. And that is such a wonderful thing to have, and our sin gets in the way with that, then we realize, well, I need to pray to confess my sins, ask forgiveness for my sins, so that way I can have that fellowship restored. As we see, there may be numerous times throughout the day that we may sin. And I think all of us, we can kind of take stock over a day and it's like, wow. Like just different things that we did, things that we didn't do, even kind of thoughts that came up in our minds, like, wow, that was totally a selfish thought or a selfish reason for what I did. I wasn't thinking about that other person at all, just thinking about myself. Like there's so many different things, if we really start to look at it, we can really kind of get disgusted with ourselves in many ways of all the things that we fail in. But the thing is that because we do that, we realize that sin separates us from God, then through the day that we want to seek His forgiveness. And it's not something where we wait till the end of the day if we realize we've done something against the Lord's commands that we kind of put off, okay, well, I'll settle it with You, Lord, kind of at the end of the day. No, it's the idea that immediately we try to make it right, that we don't persist in sin, because as we do that, sin gets to have a greater foothold in our life and causes us even more trouble. But as we seek Him each day, every time we stumble, we ask for His forgiveness. That it keeps us in His fellowship. And so that's the thing, that throughout the day we seek God's forgiveness in prayer so that our fellowship with Him might be restored. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when Lord gave the pattern for prayer, how we are to pray, one of the things He included in that pattern was, well, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. That it's that idea that there needs to be that time of forgiveness, because we all need His forgiveness throughout each day. And so that certainly impels us to pray. We have plenty of opportunity that we need to take to seek His forgiveness, and so just another one of things. Well, while we're there, there's a lot of other things we can be doing as well as we restore that fellowship with the Lord. as we gain His forgiveness. So then secondly, we want to think of as well our need for provision. Provision. We need the Lord to provide for us. All that we have comes from God. And so it's thought that we don't ever want to take His daily provision for granted. We don't ever want to get this mindset of I somehow deserve what I get, and if I don't get what I want, that sort of what's the matter with God kind of thing. The fact that He gives us anything at all is of His mercy, but so often He gives us all things richly to enjoy. And so it's kind of the thing that, and we see that in the Mono Prayer. He says, give us this day, or give us day by day our daily bread. That we ask Him daily for the provision for the day. And as we do that, we don't just simply make requests for daily provision, but as we receive that provision, then it's an opportunity to say, well, thank you, Lord, that I had food to eat today. Thank you that I had my basic needs provided for. That just as you said, that the grass or the lilies of the field, like that they're arrayed so beautifully, but one day they're there, the next day they're cast in the oven. And He says, well, shall I not so much more clothe you, O ye little faith, that we see? Well, He's provided me what I needed, and I didn't even have to worry about that. That each day we have an opportunity to go to Him and thank Him. And we read in Deuteronomy 8, and this was a warning for the children of Israel, but it's certainly one that can apply to us as well. Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, when were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna which thy fathers knew not, that He might humble thee, and that He might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath got me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it's kind of the thing is that a lot of times we lose sight of that. Well, it's like, well, I have food because I worked for it, or I provided for it, or whatever the case may be. I remember watching this one old movie with Jimmy Stewart, I believe it was called Shenandoah. And it was kind of interesting. He was a patriarch of the family, but his wife always wanted him to pray, but he basically, his prayer was, well, Lord, we worked hard and we provide all this food and almost kind of thing. Well, almost like, well, why am I actually thanking you for this? Because we did all the work to get this food. But it's kind of as it says here, well, even if that's true, that we work to provide ourselves with food, well, it's the Lord that gave us power to get wealth. That it isn't something that we did it all on our own, because it's just the fact that we're even healthy enough, we have strength of body to be able to go and work to provide our food, is something that He has provided. And so with everything, there's so often our own tendency is to forget God, forget what He's done, take the credit for ourselves, and just gloss over what He has done. But to really see it, all that we need Him for, all that He has to provide us for, because there's just so many things that can happen of the weather, providing crops, and so many other things that we have to be thankful for. And a lot of it we take it for granted, because we can just go to the store and pick it up, and the fact that food is there, the fact that we can actually earn money to get that food. You imagine many places that are torn with war, of how just to be able to go to the grocery store and get food and actually have like an economy that's actually of any stability to be able to buy and sell and things. There's different places in the world that don't even have that. And so it's learning to not take the Lord's provision for granted and to be thankful for it as He does provide. But the thing is, too, is we want to realize our focus is generally on our physical needs. That it's kind of, if we have food in our belly and we have a place to sleep at night, we got clothes on our back, kind of, we're happy and we think, well, my needs are provided more or less. But we realize that there's a whole lot more that we need than just the physical. We're not just livestock that needs to be fed. That God has created us with so many other needs. We can think mentally and emotionally, but much more, the one we tend to forget the most is our spiritual needs. Our spiritual needs. And that's so often what happens in a time of prosperity, kind of what we read with the Laodiceans. When everything's going good, we don't think I need anything. But a lot of times, it's when those times of material prosperity that we can be the most spiritually bankrupt. And we have to be wise in that and be aware of that and realize that there's much more that we need, and so many of those things, God alone can supply them. And that's, Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, of course, quoting what's written in the Old Testament, but he says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord." That we need more than just our physical food. We need that daily bread from heaven, from his word, to sustain us. And so there's so much that we can think of what, if we actually took stock, what do we need to make it through each day? And it's like, yes, there's food, clothing, shelter, but then what are all the other things that we actually need? And just his grace, his mercy, his empowering, and other things, those are all things that we need from him. So then in letter C, we see as well our need for guidance. For guidance. And the fact is that we lack the knowledge and the discernment to make wise decisions. That we don't know the end from the beginning. We don't have foreknowledge like God does, where he can see things before they happen, that he sees basically all of history as one, where we kind of, all we can do is kind of try to make predictions about what's going to happen. Like you can think of so many different events that happen or are happening. You think of an election, there's always these predictions of what people think is going to happen. You have the crisis in Crimea right now, and it's like there's all kinds of ideas, well, what might happen after this referendum that's going on today. And it's like, we don't know any of that. And so when it comes to making decisions, so often we can think, well, this really makes sense. But then we do it and it's just, oh, this was a mess. Like it's that verse in Proverbs where it says, "There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And just the thought of that was like, well, I'm just totally convinced this makes perfect sense. I'm going to follow after this. And it's kind of like there's a lot of things today, especially you'll see upon graduation from school or something like that, that so often there somebody will make the statement, well, just follow your heart and that'll lead you where you need to be. And from the scriptures we know, well, the heart's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? It's like, not only do we not have the knowledge, but we don't have the discernment either. We just, even if we had all the information, we wouldn't be able to figure out what's what. That we say, well, this sounds good, and it's sometimes our own flesh can seek after something, but then we realize this was a complete mistake. And so, to try to make a decision and have any kind of sense that this is a wise decision, this is the right decision, by ourselves, that just, we can't do that. But yet we know, well, God, he knows the end from the beginning. He sees everything. He knows all the permutations and possibilities of what could happen. And he knows the things that we don't even see. Because so often, like, there's things that we can't tell. Like, you know, with us trying to figure out different things with, like, vehicles. We don't know if we buy a vehicle, whether it will chunk out on us in a couple months. Like, it's just one of those things you can't necessarily predict. And so, But we know, well, God knows all these things, and so it makes sense. Well, if I'm making a decision, especially if it's a really big, life-changing decision, but then even as we get down, even the daily decisions, it only makes sense that we would pray the Lord for guidance in the decisions that we make, even if it's kind of, well, I think this makes sense, but I at least should get God's take on this so I have kind of a sense of what to do. And that's what he says in James 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and he upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That it's like, if we need his help, we need his wisdom, it isn't like he's going to sit there and say, well, I know what you should do, but I'm not going to tell you. He doesn't play games with us like that. Or he doesn't upbraid not. He doesn't chew us out, well, can't you figure this out? It should be so clear. He doesn't do that. He just, you need wisdom, and I'm going to give it to you liberally. I'm going to make it plain to you so you can make a good decision. And so if he's willing to do that for us, then it's like, it only makes sense to go to that. It's just kind of like if you're trying to make a big financial decision and you're not like an accountant or anything yourself, what do? You go to like a financial advisor. And sometimes they really help you, especially if you've gotten yourself in a bit of a pickle. They can really kind of sometimes help you navigate your way out of it. And that's what we do with our finances, but much more with just the big things of life. Kind of, we go to God as we're stepping forward into something so that we can navigate things properly. And even times when we haven't done that, we've just kind of stumbled blindly into something and we're like, oh man, what a mess I've made of this thing. Lord, help. Then we can go to him for wisdom and he can help us find our way out of that mess that we've gotten ourselves into. And so it's worth seeking him. That he has, like, it's, he lays that out before us, and we want to make use of that. And so realizing how limited our wisdom is caused us to depend on God's guidance all the more. And that in turn leads us to pray for his continued guidance. And that's what we see in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That it's like, I don't trust my heart, I don't trust my own instincts, my own judgment. I rest upon the Lord. I focus on getting what he wants me to do. That I acknowledge him in all my ways. Say, Lord, this is my life. I want to do your will. Please show me, and he will direct thy paths. I know at home, my mom has this plaque on the wall of the kitchen, and it reads, God always gives his best to those that leave the choice with him. And it's the thing, is that we want to seek his best. It's like we don't want to just rubber stamp our ideas. We want to find out, okay, well, Lord, is this a good idea or a bad idea? What should I do? And as we pray to him, that it talks about that in Philippians 4, that we need not, like he says, be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care. Don't be anxious for anything. But with everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth under all understanding shall fill your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That it's just, as you pray the Lord, you seek his wisdom, you're not all panicking about it, not all worried. You pray to him and he gives you that peace where it's like, okay, I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I know this is what he wants me to do. And so you step forward in faith and then you find out, wow, this worked way better than I thought it would. And then sometimes you even find out later, somebody that took the path you were going to take and just the mess that they got into, and you realize, wow, Lord, thanks that I didn't do that. That's the way I was going, but you guided me this different way, and it's made such a difference because of that. And so learning that we need his forgiveness, we need his provision each day, we need his guidance, that's what he's there for, that he is our shepherd. He wants to lead us. And we're sheep that tend to go astray. And so it's following Him. And so that's what we seek to do in prayer, is to say, well, Lord, what would you have me to do? Where would you have me to go? And have His guidance in that. And then finally, we want to think in terms of our need for strength. For strength. And the fact is that we do not possess the strength within ourselves to faithfully accomplish all that God requires of us as His people. That's what we talked about this morning. That God requires us to be faithful. There's a whole lot of things that we're to be faithful in. And as we see the whole scope of that, it's overwhelming to us. But the fact is that He wants to help us to do that. And that's the whole idea of abiding in Him, being in a relationship with Him, that we realize that we're weak, and so we are led to pray so that we may obtain that strength that we need. Because we can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Without Him, we can do nothing. And as Hebrews 4, verse 16, it talks about that we're to go boldly into the throne of grace to obtain mercy. And we think of that in terms of forgiveness. But also, and to obtain grace to help in time of need. That when we're at a point where we can't do something, we realize we're weak, that we go to the Lord and He can give us that strength. And we rejoice in that. That's what we can do for prayer. At the moment that we find ourselves to be weak, the moment that we find ourselves to be in need of His help, that we can pray and it can be there. That it isn't something where it's like some kind of system of bureaucracy like we experience so often, where it's like, okay, well, I have to sign this form and send it in. It's going to be a few months till I hear it back and get it back, and somehow I missed filling in something right on the form, so I have to send it back in again. It'll be another 2 months before I get an answer to my request. That it's the Lord wants us to seek Him and come boldly so that you can obtain the grace to help in time of need. That right when we need Him, that it can be there. And that we can enjoy that empowering of Him in the times where we need it the most. But in that as well, the greater that we recognize our own weakness, the more we will be compelled to pray to God for His strength, and the stronger we will become. And we see that principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he says in verse 9, "Send to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distressions for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And it's the idea is that when we realize that we need the Lord, that's when we're going to pray. And when we pray, that we will obtain the strength that we need. And when we think that we're strong, we think that we're tough, we think we can handle it on our own, we're not going to pray. And we're going to find that in reality that we are weak. That our situation proves itself to be the case. But when we see ourselves as we are, I am weak, that I can't even, as the song says, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. When we go to Him for strength and we continue to look to Him for our strength, that's when we find all the strength that we need. And it's that idea of developing a prayer life that's where we gain our strength from. It is from a relationship with Him. That it isn't us kind of being tough and then because almost we can have this thought, well, if I'm like really strong as a Christian, well, then I shouldn't even need to pray. I can just kind of handle things on my own. But the whole idea of being a strong Christian is that you're strong in prayer. And it's through that relationship with God that we gain our strength. And so it's seeking Him and realizing how dependent we are on Him. That just with everything that we do. Like, we could just take it in terms of, say, if we want to try to witness to somebody, that the Lord kind of, and we've maybe experienced that sometimes when the Lord's just dropped an opportunity into our lap, and where we can go to Him and say, Lord, I need the words to say, I need You to provide those for me, I need Your guidance, how to direct the conversation, I need Your strength, even kind of Your control upon me, so that I don't kind of get ahead of myself in what I'm trying to say, that I just I don't even let have my emotions kind of overpower me or something. If they say something kind of in mocking, that I don't respond in kind. That all of it, that we get into that habit of prayer, that Lord, just to help me. And we learn that it isn't just kind of right in the middle of the time where we're at our greatest needs that we pray, because we can pray in the crisis and the Lord can intervene for us. But actually learning daily to kind of know from the beginning, Lord, it's like, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to happen that's going to be way beyond what I can handle, way beyond my ability to understand. Please help me. And that we learn that from the beginning, that if our prayer life is more than just the crisis situations, then we'll become stronger and we'll actually find that the crisis situations aren't as much of a crisis as we thought they were. That we go through them and it's like, wow, the Lord just helped me right through that. That it just, normally that would have caught me off guard, but because the Lord's been working in my life and giving me kind of peace and comfort through the day as I talk with Him, that's like that came and I didn't panic, I didn't get upset, I just went through it and I actually did what I was supposed to do. And so it's learning that, it's through that relationship with Him. The more we bond with Him, the more we connect with Him through prayer, then we find that we're, He's changing us, we're becoming different, and we have His strength, we have His vision, His guidance, and it comes through that relationship. As soon as we cease in that, as soon as we kind of wander off doing our own thing, then it's like we're in the dark, we've taken away the source of our strength, and we're just kind of flailing about on our own. And that's not where we want to be, and that's not where God intends for us to be. And so learning this whole idea of developing a prayer life, realizing I need Him every hour of the day for so many different reasons, and so I need to be praying to Him to receive what I need from Him. So that's the lesson for this afternoon. Is any thoughts or questions on what we've gone through? Yeah?
How do you discern what's from God, what's from selfish desires, and guidance?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going through, I think, as you pray and seeking His will, seeking His word, that He can... Well, he talks about how His word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, that sometimes as we pray that He can kind of show us when some might be for the wrong motivation. And because that's kind of the thing as we connect with Him, is that we see Him more, we see ourselves more, and it changes our priorities, and we start to see, well, wait a minute, am I doing this for the right reasons? And as we do that, because it's kind of the idea that we let our requests be made known to the Lord, then He gives us peace. And if there isn't that peace, if there's something that sort of doesn't seem right, sometimes what we can do is, well, I think it's okay, and we rush into it. But I think it's a lot wiser to just wait a minute, let me make sure. Take this time. Because it's time well spent if we get it confirmed from the Lord this is the path to take, then that's good. We're confirmed that, we have peace in that. And so we know that even if different things happen in our life that where it doesn't necessarily go the way we think, we know, well, this is what the Lord wants me to do. And if it's something where we spend the extra time and the Lord just kind of says, no, that's not where you want to go, or not at this time, then we're like, good, I've avoided something, even though I don't know what it might necessarily be that I would have fallen into if I pursued that. But just being able to trust Him in that, that, okay, this is what He wants me to do. He doesn't want me to do this. And so with that, like, I think it's taking the time to allow Him to show you kind of His will and kind of your own self, if there's other factors that are kind of pushing you to a decision that aren't necessarily the proper rationale for making that decision. Does that make sense? Okay. Any other thoughts or questions? No, and it's one of those things where we and it can be a hard thing with ourselves too, because sometimes we come to the Lord and it's sort of, well, Lord, this is what I want to do, please rubber stamp it. And you actually see that sometimes in the scriptures, like in the latter part of Jeremiah, that they come to Jeremiah and they said, well, we think the Lord wants us to go to Egypt, and just want you to kind of confirm that for us. And the Lord says, well, no, that's not all what the Lord wants you to do, but you've basically, you've never followed the Lord your whole kind of time as a people, and you're just following the same practice. All you want me to do is just kind of rubber stamp what you were going to do anyways. And so He basically laid it out to them, you're not supposed to do this, but then they did exactly that thing. So it's kind of realizing that we're our own worst enemy, and sometimes trying to learn that, of trying to get ourselves out of the picture, what I want. It's what I want may not necessarily be what is best for me. And so learning to see, okay, what does the Lord want? And I know some of I've read of George Mueller in prayer. That was kind of what he always tried to do, is spend some time where he was kind of almost in prayer trying to divest himself of what he wanted, to just kind of get that out of the picture and just say, well, Lord, what do you want? Make it plain and I'll go with whatever it is. And as we learn to do that, we're more greatly blessed, because it's we know if God has a different idea than us, then it's always going to be a better idea. It's not going to be sort of the second choice, or we missed out because we follow God or anything like that. So, all right, well, let's turn to our last hymn for this afternoon, number 344.